Welcome to the second megasode of Geekologist Radio. What is a megasode? It is the combined conversations from regular episodes of Geekologist Radio on a specific topic. This megasode topic is the show Taboo on FX, a show that captured us quickly. If you have seen Taboo and want to relive Taboo Season 1 through our discussions, you have about 50 minutes of audio ahead. If you've not seen Taboo, this podcast is full of Taboo spoilers, theories, and discussions. If you like to listen while watching for the first time, we have episode separators between each conversation to allow for pausing, watch the next episode, listen to our discussion of it, repeat. Some regular podcast discussions cover two episodes of Taboo. Those are listed below in the timestamps and mentioned in the episode separators. Enjoy! Taboo, episodes 1 and 2.
All right, so guess what? So we have a little more Tom Hardy this week. You know, in case you didn't get enough last week, we're going to talk about something that Chris actually had mentioned about, I think it was like 3 weeks back you were talking about.
Yeah, there were some episodes or some shows, some series that I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to dig into. And I didn't realize because I started looking at this and I started this week thinking about the fact that this thing was coming. And, man, I missed out early. You guys caught the first episode, so.
Yeah, there's actually two that are out right now.
Two? All right.
But but this show is like, I'm telling you this much. If you can walk around and look like a badass wearing a top hat, you're pulling something off. And
Tom Hardy's doing it.
Yeah, he looks like straight up death walking. Like he's gonna come up and you're just gonna fall over. Like it's a supernatural TV series, but it's not like something that's so far out there that you're kind of like that. It's not like the TV show Supernatural. It's more based on like tribal supernatural practices and things.
Like voodoo.
Voodoo. And it's even going to dip into some of the Native American side of tribal spirituality and things. So it's definitely going to bring some, I think it's going to have some different, takes on it from people from different cultures that watch it. But the first episode, now this airs on FX. It is a TVMA. It's not as harsh as say Game of Thrones with that rating, but it.
And we were talking about TVMA, like shows having to go kind of go into that line to make it more of a more mature thing.
And that's exactly. This airs late at night, and it is really just a very well put together so far with story and everything. I'm all in, to coin a phrase from you.
So where is this show set at? Is it? I know like Tom Hardy's an English
so
actor.
Is this is when the United States had 15 states and they were still at war with Britain and England.
Okay.
It has a lot to do with the East India Trading Company and those powers battling each other. So what it boils down to is Tom Hardy's character comes quote unquote back from the dead. His father dies and he comes back from Africa where everybody thought that he was dead. And he just shows up at dad's funeral. And then that's where the story goes into everything else. He was inherited some land that is extremely valuable because it gives trade routes to different areas that are extremely valuable for the East India Trading Company, as well as for America and for the Britons.
What's the cadence for that first episode? Like, is it something that takes a bit to get into, or is it something that right off the jump?
Oh no,
I was hooked.
I was hooked instantly.
The only reason I'm asking is because some of those episodes, like if you're a Game of Thrones fan, I mean, that first episode of Game of Thrones was like, oh man, it took like two or three episodes to get into the series. So on a short series like on this, I think it's 8 episodes, right? Like it's not very long. Like they gotta be able to draw you in right away.
And they did just that. It instantaneously, like, grips you. And my only worry is that the sets are so extravagant that I just hope that if I believe it's gonna take off. But my worry is that it might get to the point where if it does that things get too expensive, just like Showtime's Penny Dreadful, they cut that short because of the cost of building Elizabethan sets. But other than that, the writing is on par, and it's something that so far from first episode, it's something that you could definitely go Westworld deep on and start trying to catch all the things that's going on.
Does this have like a Sherlock feel, meaning like it could be something that if they maybe they could tighten it up that way, or does it feel more Netflix? Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes these shows where like you know that FX just doesn't have the cash, it could go someplace else if that was a necessity.
This show actually is also being broadcast on BBC in the UK, and the UK is actually getting it before we are by about 5 or 6 days ahead of us. So it's airing in England before it's airing here. So this show, actually, even if it is canceled on FX, still has the potential to keep going and keep going through BBC.
Shared cost.
Yeah, I'm really excited about all the new shows that are coming out that have like top-notch actors attached to them. Makes it really enticing to go watch these shows. And I'm a big Tom Hardy fan since way before, like, maybe even back to Star Trek. Like, I remember Star Trek he was in. But he was the bad guy in that movie. He was like 17, 18 years old. He's a great actor. He has a great, like, diversity. And I think this is the next thing I'll be picking up. I'm not sure. Is it available instant viewing anywhere? Or?
Yeah, you can get it instant view on Xbox. You can subscribe to the season if you want. So you can just go on there. They have it. It's actually on one of the, right in the front of the store right now.
Yeah, if you have FX's channel, you should be able to. You should be able to just put in your subscriber information there. I don't, so I'm probably just going to be buying it straight up on Amazon.
Taboo. Episode 3.
And y'all guys got me into Taboo too, by the way.
Oh, so have you started watching?
Nice, nice.
I'm caught up. I mean, full on caught up.
I'm not into episode 3 yet. I'm not into episode 3. I'm gonna start that after the podcast.
Oh, episode 3 is amazing too.
Yes.
So what are you thinking of it? Now, is it as good as we had been describing it to you, Cajun?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's easily going to be in my top 5 this year. I would say top 3, but I know some good stuff coming. I mean, it's unbelievably good. The cast is deep, well acted, so strong. The plot is interesting. It's not formulaic. Tom Hardy
he's a badass.
I'm surprised the crowds aren't just parting. He just walks like such a badass, just like walking in the street. Like, if that dude's walking towards me anywhere that way, I'm just like grabbing my family, pulling them to the side. I'm just like, I don't care what this looks like. Let this dude pass.
Could you see him being Wolverine now?
Yes. That's what I was going to say, because...
Yeah, short, stocky Wolverine. Yeah. Yes, okay. I get it. I see it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he fits it. Like, and you see, like, so where I got to, episode 2, seeing the way he behaves and everything towards just the end, I'm like, that's Wolverine. I'm like, please, please make him Wolverine. That is Wolverine. I want to see that. That could be the Wolverine that goes along with Deadpool or with anything. Just make, please accept that role.
Oh, got it. His eyes are so intense, though. His eyes
constant.
Are primal. Like, they look like a primal animal, like a Wolverine, or just like an evil animal when he kicks him on.
And the other thing about it is that, you know, what this feels like with the way that he behaves, everything, it feels almost like I'm watching The Crow, only set back in the days of the East India Trading Company. The way he walks around and everything, and just when he puts on the tribal makeup and stuff, it very much hits that kind of gothic undertones. Mm. And I just, I'm just loving the acting, and it's, Chris, you really got to get into this thing. It is good.
Yeah, if I had like any sort of time whatsoever over the last 2 weeks,
exactly,
I probably would have. But I literally have worked every single day so I could get here. So I'll be able to catch up now that my schedule will be back to the regular
excellent
schedule.
Yeah, that one is surprisingly good. And the cast, I keep finding people in there like, look who that is, look who that is. Oh, and the king. I mean, yeah, y'all don't watch Sherlock, but any of our listeners watch Sherlock, you probably won't even notice who the king is, but the king is Mycroft from Sherlock. And if you look closely, you can see it in his eyes, but I didn't even catch that till I saw his name in the title line. I'm like, who the hell is Mycroft playing? I'm like, the king? Holy crap.
So do we want to go into this show every week? Like Westworld Deep almost?
It's going to have to.
Why don't we start next week, get Chris a chance to get caught up, and we'll do a... first four episode catch up.
Yeah, I'm off on Monday, so when I get back home, I can just knock out.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, there's only three episodes, three hour episodes, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't.
Then I'll be good. When's it? When does it air typically?
Tuesday, I want to say.
I think
it airs Tuesday because it was available. It was available on my Amazon yesterday, but I don't know if it was available the day before. I know it was available yesterday, and it wasn't Monday.
Okay.
So I just don't know if it was available Tuesday.
Perfect. I'm pretty sure we get FX. If not, I'll just figure out a while.
Yeah, if you have FX, you can watch it via FX now. The first episode is free on Amazon. That's how I got into it. I was like, I was going to watch it, buy it anyway, but I was like, do I buy the single one because they said it was so good, or do I buy the whole season? And I went and I was like, to buy the first episode and decide that episode of first season. I'm like, oh, first taste is free. And then before it's over, I'm looking at my wife like, I'm buying this whole season. And some of y'all know, like, my credit card got hacked a while back, so I didn't lose any money on it. They're turning around the charges. But as soon as I went to buy it, that was the first purchase on Amazon with the now deactivated credit card. So I was like, why is this not working? I need to watch episode 2 of Taboo. I had to, like, go in, computer, reset the credit card number and everything. Delayed me.
I'll tell you, though, it's been really, really cool. Good, just fun experience. Now that TV, we've talked about it quite a bit, actually. But now that TV is not the death sentence for actors, you're seeing these big-time movie stars and just that coming to TV, and we're getting cinema-quality television, which is just, yep. I mean,
A-listers.
It gives us a chance. Yep. Yeah, because instead of you know, getting 2 hours, or maybe if it's a longer epic movie, you get 3 hours around there to get to know a character. Mm-hmm. We're getting, you know, upwards to 8 to 10 hours worth or more, because we've been accustomed now to shorter seasons. But we're getting to, you know, times to get to know these characters, and that's just one season, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just man, I've just been really geeking out over all the different actors that are coming in.
And he's a full on young A-lister, up and coming. Like he might not even have peaked yet. So to get somebody of that stature coming in. Really, really strong, but it's not a death sentence, but also the actors themselves, like, we get to experience the characters, but they get to give us the characters and go deeper into them as well.
Right.
So we're the interesting characters. They don't just get an hour and a half to 2 hours of screen time. They get 10, 20, 50 hours of screen time, depending how many seasons, if you really want to go deep into a character. I mean, look at Bryan Cranston. I mean, he went from Malcolm's dad to A-lister by able to spend 5 seasons developing a great character. That's kind of opposite. He went from C-list to A-list or whatever list he was on. But in the same sense, seeing stories like that, seeing abilities like that, and a lot of big A-list actors were coming out and saying things great about that role and other big roles on TV that are setting on fire.
The big bump was Kevin Spacey,
yes,
in House of Cards. That was the bump.
Yep.
That was enough to get an A-list actor to consider doing, you know, a primetime show. And then you see HBO go to it, and so True Detectives came, and so then that hit, and so it was like a couple of things in succession, and so now it's very, very easy for these actors to think to themselves, well, man, I could do a season. If it hits, great, and if it doesn't, I've done that. It's almost like when actors would go and do off Broadway plays. Now they do a TV series of like one season or so, and then they will go back into whatever it is they're going to do. So
yep, and for them, for the award winners, the ones that already have an award under their belt, it gets them one step closer to the EGOT, the Emmy, yep, Grammy, Oscar, Tony, or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you can get an Emmy and an Oscar, you can say both, and it's, in many cases, the Emmy is easier than the Oscar, that you can throw winner, especially if somebody who's been nominated a few times who hasn't won. For an Oscar, they go to TV and go give themselves an Emmy. They can hold that up as a winner now, and that's their byline.
Their byline is kicked up a notch just by the word nominated. You can mm-hmm. bump yourself into the head of the class on a lot of shows by just saying Emmy nominated or, you know, Tony nominated. That's enough to get you in the door on at least on passion projects that you want to do. You know what I mean? Or things that you were really interested in.
Yeah, Kick-Ass just got nominated. Like the lead actor of Kick-Ass, Aaron something Johnson, he was nominated for a Golden Globe just recently. So now he's nominated. And who'd have thought that guy would have gotten nominated for something? So there you go.
Oh, I don't know, man. He's been in quite a few films that are actually good. I mean, it's just the problem is that he changes his appearance and his body shape so much, mm-hmm. like he, muscle tone and everything, for each role he gets.
Age of Ultron looked very different. Yep. Godzilla, he looked very different.
Taboo, episode 4.
Well, the first show in our queue is Taboo. We talked last week that, okay, quite a few of us have been watching it. We kind of have to cover it every week. Fouts, you seen it this week, man?
Yep, I am 100% caught up. I love this show. It's amazing.
Yes. Damien?
I am 3/4 of the way through episode 4, so I don't, but you guys can talk about it. I read up stuff on it. I love this show. So where do we want to start, first off? Are we going to start at episode 1 and kind of go into this stuff in depth? We go in Westworld on this? Come on. Just give me a starting point.
I guess we can kind of cover, I was thinking maybe cover episode 4 holistically and make references to the one. Because we've kind of already talked a little bit about one and two, well, when they came out, and then 3 a little bit last week. But yeah, we can go depth on 4 but make references back for other stuff. Because there's definitely something in the intro of the show that they just started hinting at. And I'm still trying to figure out some of the clues in that intro.
You're talking about with the voodoo stuff?
No, the water.
Yeah.
So basically it's all water.
Episode 4 starts out like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was actually telling my wife, I'm like, okay, he's in the water, so he drowned. And who's the girl? It's not his sister, because I've checked the face a couple times. Is it his mom?
Mother. That's his mom. That's
his mom? Okay. Yeah. Because she's always seen with the makeup and the water scenes. But the other key that they gave out in this one was, I thought he was possibly a prisoner on that boat. It looks like he was possibly an officer on that boat because of the suit he was wearing. So that's going to be a good history turn, because we already know he was an officer with the East Indian Treaty Company, because they talked about it. But I thought he might have revolted before then. But it looks like it was probably this ship was his turning point. So that was the trailer stuff. Now we get to see him putting together the League of the Damned.
Yes. Oh, he's creating his own little super team of people that he feels is going to help him in his end goal.
And the other piece of it, they all deserve what they get.
Like, I know, that was like, when he said that, I was like, I was just like, oh my God. Like every like little bit of piece of verbiage, because he doesn't, I mean, it almost sometimes feel like you're watching, like, again, like different characters he's played. You know, it's not Bane, because Bane talked a lot. It's more of like a Max Payne role, or not Max Payne, Mad Max role.
Yeah.
Mad Max role. Yeah. Because he doesn't say a lot, but what he does, and you've talked about this, Cajun, is the intensity in his eyes. And when he speaks, like, it's just, damn, man, like it. You're forced to listen. Like, you're like, okay. And then, like, it's just every word is just a bunch more badassery. And, like, it's, like, even if that's a word, I'm not sure, but it's, you know, I could see that just moving on into other roles in the future for him. It's great.
Yeah, and he's a thinking character, too. Mad Max isn't a thinking character. He doesn't say much, but he's
No.
This guy, when he's not,
he's of five all steps ahead of everything.
Exactly. Everything he does makes those turns. And he's ahead of the Crown. He's ahead of East India right now. But from all the people who deserve to get it, does the butler deserve it too? What did the butler do?
I don't think
we know the butler's part of the poison.
You think the butler was the poison of the dad?
Or the mother.
That's what I'm thinking. Oh, the mother, yeah.
I'm thinking the mother. Yes.
Okay. Because I was thinking he might have sensed the butler was lying about the poison for the dad.
Because here's the thing, if you notice, he says everything, even to the butler, he says everything will be packaged now, that he basically, he doesn't want anything, like when he gets alcohol, it's bottled and he opens
sealed.
It.
Sealed.
Yeah.
See, it's sealed, and he breaks the seal. He doesn't allow anything to pass, you know, that's not something that he's gotten.
Yeah.
So
that he could have definitely made that connection. So the butler deserves it too. But we did find out the one person who he doesn't think deserves it. That's his sister.
That's a whole another story.
That is, so that relationship with the sister though is creepy.
Just a little bit.
It's it, would you say hey, would you say it's taboo?
I would say his relationship with the sister is taboo. Yes. Creepy AF is also equals taboo. Well played on the words, sir. Well played on the words. But the sister's husband is just the worst. He's literally the most hated character.
Oh yeah.
It's not even close. But it made me remember of the V for Vendetta. He's doing this gunpowder treason and plot right now.
Yep.
And I was thinking of that line from V for Vendetta when he's doing all this plotting and just all this stuff to do the gunpowder right now. That's all the show was about this week, was gunpowder.
It was. How to get it, or how to make it, or how to steal the parts to make it.
Oh, God. How about that? The doctor tasting the feces.
Multiple different types of feces.
Yeah.
Just, yep. This isn't good shit. This isn't good. This one's better. We need a lot more of this. It was all about that. Yeah. That doctor was an interesting character. I think I'm going to like that character moving forward.
Yeah, I hope we see a lot more of him.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot more of that guy. For sure. But yeah, there wasn't as much magic so far in the season as I was expecting. From the trailers and stuff, I was expecting a little more mysticism in it instead of the political machinations. Because this is all like him working the crown and East India between each other and the society, but not as much magic.
Did you see the scene with the fireplace?
I was just saying, did you? Yeah, I was like, okay, I think I saw magic.
Yes, that was.
Oh, that was some creepy.
As a season, I'm talking as a whole, though. I'm going back as a whole. Sorry, okay. As a whole, the whole season so far hasn't had as much magic as I thought. And us also, the scene with him and the fireplace and the yada, yada, yada was also creepy AF, or AKA taboo.
Yeah, that was very crazy. Much so. Now, Chris doesn't have much to say because he only watched the first episode.
Yeah, I honestly watched the first episode, not really that interested in it. I'm going to give episode two just a look, only because everybody else, I mean, everybody here is watching it, so I'm going to give it another crack. I think it was Tuesday night. I watched like the first 45 minutes. I think I fell asleep for the last 15. So like I said, I'm going to give it another crack. Because there's plenty of shows such as Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad where I was like, this is garbage. And then I still gave it another shot and found myself involved. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean, I could end up, you know, tomorrow thinking this is the greatest thing by episode two and then being all through four episodes. So I'll give it another shot. We'll see how it goes. But currently, it just doesn't grab my attention. Not for any fault besides just it's not my cup of tea. But we'll see. The setting and the year was... causes it to be olden, and so then it was like, okay, I've got to try to stay awake. And then while I'm watching it, and it's very slow paced, like it's not a quick thing.
It is so slow.
Then I'm trying to like, I'm like, is it over yet? I don't know. Wait. And I'm like, then I was looking at the clock, the countdown clock, because of my Comcast before. So it was just a lot of things.
So one of the other things like that I've been looking at with this series is each episode. I feel like he could be used as a means to make him Wolverine. Like this episode again, it's he gets racked on the head, and it looks like, you know, it looks quasi Negan esque. You know,
it looks like he's dead, like out cold.
Yeah. And then the hay hooks.
Oh,
no, yeah, that was just the whole scene of the windmill at the water wheel was brutal.
It was.
Yeah. And they took their time, too. It's like, we're not just going to just have him do quick brutality. We're going to show him doing that slow brutality. And once I realized what they were doing, both me and my wife realized what they were doing, I was like, oh, it's going slow. And I could see my wife already trying to cover her eyes a little bit. I'm like, babe, just cover your head all the way. I'll let you know when it's done.
Giggity.
Taboo, Episode 5.
So getting into NRQ now, and in Taboo, the show we've been following pretty closely, we're a little behind on it, fully watching it. I've caught the whole thing. Few people have not caught all of it yet. But something I started last week, and I continued it this week, was my theorization on the opening sequence in the water. So I really think that a show that's this sophisticated gives away a lot of hints to what's going to happen in their opening title sequences, in either episode names, stuff like that. This one doesn't even name their episodes, or just episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But I think in this title sequence, it looks to be he's in the water and he looks dead. His mom's in the water. She looks alive and breathing because you see bubbles. And then she stops blowing bubbles. He starts and rises up as she sinks. So I have a theory that she gave her life to save his. And that's what the opening sequence is actually telling us at this point. And considering with the mysticism, some of the stuff we've seen with her in the water with makeup and his flash scenes, his powers may have come from her too. I think this explains a lot. And that's my Westworld theory on Taboo. You guys have been watching. What do you think of that one?
I think his powers are coming half from being in Africa for so long and living in the tribal lands. But I do think his mother's heritage being Native American and whatnot has a big part of that as well.
And overall, I like this one. I think there was a dual scene early on that was really awesomely done. But there was a convoluted plot point later with speeding up gunpowder production that I think was forced in and not well explained. And to not give away too much of that, you have to watch and see, and see if you'll agree. But man, it felt like that was a forced plot point in it, and that was something I didn't really like because it didn't really play well at all.
One thing is I've been reading, there's like theories and stuff on Reddit, and people are saying to watch his tattoos and his makeup when he puts the makeup on. They're saying that the makeup is that the tattoos, if you look, it's like a kind of like a flow, and his makeup kind of will always match, but it'll be at a different angle and stuff, and that they're saying that has something to do with some of the different, when he's doing different spells or different mysticism stuff, they're comparing it to his war paint to his tattoos and saying they all go together to tell a story. So that's something to kind of like start to look for.
Okay, definitely have to pay attention to that too, because this show doesn't have like Westworld. You knew it had secrets, it told you it had secrets, and then you were constantly finding this one. Doesn't really give you that feel that it's hiding stuff from you, but at the same time, people are noticing things like, oh, they're hiding stuff in there, not on purpose, but they're putting stuff in the with visual cues, with the tattoos, opening sequence, a couple of things that in there. I think they're using that as a foreshadowing points, it looks like.
Yeah, because I mean, most of the tattoos, if you look at, they all flow over the over arteries and over main sensory points of the body. That's another thing.
Damn, I gotta get into this tattoo lore in Taboo. I'm missing me some tattoo lore on that one.
I'm sorry. I haven't watched this at all, but while you guys are talking, I'm reading about it, and I just found this quote by Tom Hardy where he says, "You're lucky there was a loincloth because I didn't want one. It's not a period drama unless someone gets naked and covers themselves in blood."
Dude, there's a couple of scenes where it's like where he's naked in it, and it's like, just wow, like that was some quick editing there, because I would have seen something if it wasn't for some quick editing. Yeah, when he's naked in it, he's naked.
He's stocky. He's like short and stocky, but he's like, whatever. I'm just going to keep walking with that hat.
Oh, yeah, he's the hat, the long trench coat. And I even noticed in this one, there was some bad CG in one where he's riding a horse. And let's say they actually extended his trench coat to make it flow in the horse. I was like, oh, that's CG, I can tell. You could almost see the line where they edited it in and made the trench coat flow more.
They don't expect Cajun nerds like you to be watching this.
I was going to say, Cajun, that's not a trench coat.
Oh, wait a second now. You just said he was short and stocky. Which is it? Is it long and flowing, or is it short and stocky?
You can't have both.
Taboo, episode 6.
Taboo, episode 6. What do you guys think of Taboo, episode 6, gentlemen?
I was confused. I thought it was the season finale because it was an hour and a half long. But I am so glad it was an hour and a half long, because I thought it was outstanding.
Oh yeah,
it really was. This show, man, I'm telling you, the characters and stuff in it, and you know, we get to see, we understand more about Tom Hardy's character in this one. We learn a lot more about his past and how effed up it is.
And the sister. Oh, the sister. Oh, we saw some.
Dude, she is so screwed up in the head.
Oh, God.
She really is.
She went from emotionless, like nothing was going on in her head, her eyes. It was emotionless to all emotion, 100% emotion from before she did the crazy act in that episode to after she did that crazy act. And it was just, poof, that was tense. And he was like, oh, God, what did I get myself into? In more ways than one.
Yeah, and see, this is where I was actually, why I was being a little quiet. I was trying to be a little standoffish on, but yeah, so this is where the show goes into and shows the reason why. One, it's taboo. And yeah, in cases it's not.
Yeah, very taboo. Yeah.
But the thing is, do we think that this is actually what the sister was like prior to him leaving? Like, do you think that she was kind of all out there and weird as well? Or I guess in comparison, is that why they're drawn to each other?
I think that she was very passionate with him before he left. And this husband that she had just really kind of sort of whipped her into shape, like beat her into shape. I mean, he physically did it last episode in more ways than one. And so it really pushed her into this society good wife role, and she finally realized that that wasn't what she was, I think, at the end, and pulled away from that.
It's trying to think, though. You're seeing all this stuff and all these pieces being moved around, and in fact, that's actually what the East India Trading Company says, is they start calling up the people as chess pieces, and they make it into, you know, it's game on for them. But what I find interesting is that there's so much story, and we were two episodes away from the season from the season finale. It's like it blows my mind to think how long. Like, I would like to know what Ridley Scott is thinking on how long he sees this possibly going on for. Mainly also just to know, because this is period pieces are expensive. Cajun.
Yeah, and also, Tom Hardy is not going to stick around for 5 seasons, most likely. Most likely he's not sticking around for many, many seasons. So, yeah, how long do you have him?
They're not going to be able to, they won't be able to afford him for that long of a time.
No, because, I mean, and then also this series has kind of garnered some interesting fan videos that have come up. I'm just going to throw this out there. It's in the middle of this is the fact that there is a fan video that put up of compiling all the grunts thus far of Tom Hardy into like one mega cut. And it's epic.
Yeah. He speaks with his eyes and his grunts. He doesn't have to say many words, but
the thing is, it works.
It makes perfect sense.
Like, I mean, what actor can go through and see, you know, can do that? They can actually, through the intensity of their eyes and through just grunts, can get a point across. Like, he's like, I understand completely, you know? You just, see, exactly.
So you're telling me he's the reincarnation of Tim the Toolman Taylor?
That is a good analogy.
he could be Tim Allen's son. That's a possibility.
Actually, since this takes place back in the past, Tim Allen could be the great 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 grandson of Tom Hardy's character.
Yes, it's all starting to make sense now.
Together, and
we have solved the mystery. Right,
and we
here.
Also know why he fumbles up so much. It's because he's inbred. So there we go. Okay.
You had to go there. All right.
Sorry.
Okay, can we move on?
Some things that he's doing is he got his allies together, but it's now he's almost pushing them away. And he seems like he's intimidating the ones that he felt that I think we felt as fans were the closest ones to them. He pushing them away left and right, where I think they could be losing motivation to be on his side. And he's making the turn that instead of just paying people and convincing them that they're on his side, that he's going to intimidate with fear and corpses with body parts cut out of them. And this is what you do when you cross me. So he's going to be the quintessential, like, TV show, movie villain, but the hero or the anti-hero in this one moving forward.
When he cut out the guy's heart, oh my gosh, that was insane.
Yeah. It's like, just, yeah, put this somewhere and this is yours. And it's like,
bury the body in a shallow grave and do whatever you want with the heart.
Here, I gave you a gift.
What?
With a heart. Yeah. Now, okay. At who did he kill Winter at the end?
That was when that came up. I'm like, oh my God. Like, and then
I don't think it was him. I think it was the East India Trading Company.
It could be, and then, you know, because he had a bottle, and then he could have been passed out, and then they saw the opportunity to make it to strike.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's also that flash scene where he sort of flashed and saw, like, the mom's witchcraft face right before that, too. So there's a lot of possibilities in that moment. And if he did, what road does that take him down? Does he go on this guilt trip? Ridden path. If he thinks he did, does he go down this guilt-ridden path and tone down the aggressiveness that he's been presenting the whole show? That's going to be a major turning point, I think, is the fallout from that. Because I was actually contemplating if she was a real person, because she was always appear everywhere, yeah. Like when he was alone, and he was like. So I was.
Damien and I had that same conversation off screen and whatnot. We're like, okay, so do you think she's real or do you think she's just a ghost that he's seeing all the time? And I wasn't even sure until this last two episodes, really, when she was more interactive around other people and things.
Exactly. When other people were noticing her, like, okay, yeah, I can see where that's coming from, because they almost would have did a Cajun faux pas there. Oh, and I'd have been mad and throwing things.
Speaking of Cajun faux pas, Cajun was wrong about the mother dying and drowning and then Tom Hardy coming to life.
I'll say that is still a strong possibility. It's still a possibility. I'll remove strong from it. It's still a possibility, but they revealed a lot more that did say that I was most likely wrong. Yeah, that it was more in the baby sense.
Hashtag Cajun is clinging.
You mean Cuban.
Yeah, Cuban is clinging.
Cuban is clinging to what little bit he has there. Yep, that the opening sequence could definitely be something different, and it was that baby scene, but he's projecting it as an adult. Yep.
Perhaps you could say you were close, but no cigar.
Cigar. Oh.
Ooh, a Cuban cigar.
The Cuban, there she is.
Taboo, Episode 7.
Moving on in, we're going to go into another FX series, and it's kind of a bread and butter for us over here. We're going to talk some Taboo, Episode 7.
Yes. So he answered the question. They answered it this week. He did not kill Winter. So
that's right.
That was a big question last week. I'm glad. See, we're talking about questions and no answers. This one asks questions, answers them in short times. So,
So is anybody else kind of feeling a little bit like? So, we talked about Daredevil and the Punisher and Daredevil. How he's always thinking ahead, or the Punisher's always thinking ahead, and like everything seems to be planned and calculated, right? Down to having a razor inserted in his own skin to get out of something. It seems an awful lot like the main character in this, in Taboo, that he's already thought ahead in front. He's always a couple steps ahead. Like something gets thrown at him, and it feels like he's already okay. I see this, and he's already two steps ahead of it to be able to to counter it. And I mean, it's been really cool to see.
Yeah, it's very like, yeah. Any name a character Sherlock or whoever it is who is always that much far ahead of the people that are chasing him or the people that he's chasing. But this one, like, he was so far ahead on this one. That was a convoluted plot just to get in a room with Sir Stewart. Yeah. I mean, he went through a lot, put up all these machinations in place. These people go here, these people there. And just to get a meeting with Sir Stewart, what's his end game with this meeting? What do you think he's getting out of this meeting?
That I'm trying to.
That's a good question.
It is.
Yeah,
I have no idea what's going to be coming from that conversation. My thought process is this.
Yeah, is that he's going to get a boat from them. He's going to get a boat. He's going to get Sir Stuart to kill the two witnesses. And he's going to take his gunpowder and the boat and leave for the Americas. And season two is going to be in America. I think that's the line here is like, I want a boat and yada, yada, yada. And then you do this and I take Godfrey with me and you ain't got to worry about him. And I got to worry about them and we're done. So
do you think
that's good.
So you think when he's in America that he's going to meet up with Jason Momoa from Frontier?
It could be. I think Momoa's is slightly before. Yeah, I don't know the timeline, but they're pretty close timeline.
Yeah, they are. That's why. Like, I've seen people saying that they're very closely connected in what they deal with and everything. So people are saying, hey, are we going to see like a cross universe thing? And I was like,
no.
No. Although it is cool to think about. So.
Yeah, it's cool to think about, but it's two different networks and two very different quality shows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Taboo is way different.
Way above and beyond better than Frontier. Yeah. But. Yeah. But, we found out something else new. Questions with answers. This one's answering it. We know for sure that the butler killed the dad in the den with arsenic. Straight out of Clue.
Exactly. And you had those cards. He flat out said that he wished that he could have killed Tom Hardy's character as well. He says, I should have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to come back to haunt him.
And that scene, though, again, just talking about quality of actors and stuff like that and the ability to pull you in, you see his eyes, like, he's tearing up and everything. You can see, you feel his emotion in it. And that's another thing is, like, I always appreciate, like, we appreciated Westworld. You could feel how characters were feeling, even though they were AI, as the actresses and actors were able to start to show as they gained feeling and cognizance, they were able to start to show that. That was quality TV, quality cinema. It's the same thing with this, and I always am greatly appreciative of seeing an actor's abilities in this. And for a character that's kind of been on the sideline a little bit, not so in your face, this episode, just that scene alone, that he stole that scene. Derek?
Yeah. And just Miss Bo's reaction to him, it showed how naive she was in everything. She was naive on how she started the whole thing in court and on all these actions she's taken. She's been really naive to the mature world outside of her little acting that she thought she had it all wrapped around and stuff like that. But one thing that I'm still curious about, and they haven't explained that, I hope they explain more, is did just seeing that vision of, I think it was his mother or towards his mother when he was with his sister, did that really make him just push his sister away altogether?
Yes.
Was that it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because the way they made it sound like is it was no longer his sister because before, when it was the two of them together, they felt that each other together was one person. And then when they were doing the taboo act in the previous episode, he seen his mother, and so he feels that his mother's spirit is taking over his sister's body. And so that's why he is pushing her away and saying, we are no longer the same person.
I'll buy that.
Yep. I missed that. That is good.
Fouts was right. New hashtag.
Yeah, look at that.
We'll see next episode, but I'm pretty sure that fits it. That fits into my agenda. Fouts was right. Hashtag.
Taboo, episode 8, the finale.
Now, what a lot of us didn't see coming was a lot of the stuff that happened in the Taboo season finale.
Oh my God. That's all. That's the first thing. I just watched it right before we came up here to podcast. So it's really, it's fresh in my mind. Like, I'm watching and my son came out and sat down for a little bit. He goes, what is this? I go, it's the season finale of Taboo. He's like, and he runs away. He's only on episode one. So he ran out of the room because he was watching. And he's just like, this looks so good. I'm like, it is. He goes, what episode is it? I go, season finale. And he just like,
But what an amazing season finale. This is one of the best season finales I've seen in a long time.
It was fantastic. It's up there, one of the best ever.
It was hit every peak. It was fantastic.
Would you say this season finale outplayed Westworld season finale? That's where, I know they're two totally different things. Okay, but it's a close second, though. It's a close second.
In terms of comparing those two, if it's a one and two, yeah. But I mean, when I look at all the season finales I've ever seen in my life, like, it's top 10.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's easily top 10 season finales, and I have some great ones in my top 10 list if I ever, like, wrote those down. But yeah, it's so much great in this one. And I did eight, and I'll even do this one. Cajun was right, because what did I say he was going to ask Stuart Strange for?
A boat?
Two things he asked him for. But one thing I didn't know, and I was way wrong on, Cajun was wrong, was that all of the other stuff that was part of his plan, all the other stuff he had asked for, because it was so much deeper. Do not play James Kasaya Delaney in chess. The dude is 25 moves ahead of you. I don't care how many moves you're doing. The dude's
were wrong about is you thought that he was going to ask for the deaths of the two witnesses.
Right.
That was the only part of it that you were wrong about with that.
Right.
So... Yeah. Another question I got is, James gets a letter from his sister. You find out, you see her jump into the river. Now, do we honestly think that her character, do you think that was the end of her character? Is she dead and is she just going to appear in flashbacks and stuff? Or, Cajun, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, because they had that moment in the chair where he was confident she wasn't dead because he couldn't talk to her. He basically revealed that he could talk to the dead, like, wholeheartedly, like, I can talk to the dead and not just dismiss this and stuff, and I'd be able to talk to her. She's not dead. But then later in the episode, we see her, actually die underwater, like, finally die and in his mind, and then he's able to communicate with her. And so, to me, that's her character actually dying. And I also think it's the show and the writers moving away, and the actress too, Una Chaplin, probably moving away from the taboo relationship her and her brother had. That, like, can I just finish this season and not have to do that ever again? So I think there's a lot of layers to that one.
Now, as for season two's main villain, do we think that the king's going to be the main villain season two?
No, I think, there's going to be a push-pull between England trying to get him wherever he's at, Prince Regent getting him wherever he's at, and the crown getting wherever he's at, and I think Colonnade is going to play a major one. So they might not even make it to America most of next season. It might just be in the Azores for a bit and them trying to get there with a lot of push-pulls happening there, like with the threat of, we won't let you go any further if you don't do this type scenarios, and him having to move on. But yeah, I think that's more along the lines what it's going to be. But did anybody understand, like, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say about the, a lot of key characters that we weren't necessarily expecting to not not take a fall passed on in this episode. But what I think that's doing is other characters that you've seen, as just silent, henchmen. I think it's given them an opportunity for next season to have more of a larger role. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Helga's other girl, like, she's going to have some stuff. Yeah.
I mean, badass was the bald guy that runs up? I mean, Cajun, aside from Cajun and Gabble, you guys got hair, but,
No, we're kind of fans. Gabble's bald as crap. He just got his head shaved.
Yeah, do I not have video?
Nice.
Yeah, we do, but you need to share it.
Oh, I don't know how to do that. Skype is beyond me.
So.
So there's a button at the bottom that shows, like, a camera. You click that.
Oh, well, since we're already derailed, yes, I went to a barber today and had them take a razor to my head, and there is no longer a single hair on top of my head.
Nice.
Awesome.
So with
well
that,
played, sir. You set Damien up for that one.
Yeah, I failed.
With no video too. I purposely not clicking that button. I see. It was all a big plan.
But when they're everybody's reloading, right? And then you got the tall, bald guy just runs up with two grenades. I was like, yeah, and he's not even afraid. He throws the grenades, and then he's just bam, bam, dropping those pistols, coming up with another one. He's going full pirate on him because that's what pirates are known for doing, is carrying multiple guns because you only get one shot. It was just so great. That scene just made me so happy.
And you're... Now the video is shared, and he is more bald than anyone.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he is. God damn. That is, that's like a...
I make up for
I'm
it.
I'm blind.
Make up for it down here.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But check out the... He outbeards everybody here.
Outbeard, outbald. Just like...
Yeah.
God, this guy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
He wins the testosterone award.
But, one thing I was trying to get wrap my head around on this episode, just to kind of put it towards the end, was I tried to wrap my head around how complex of a plan Delaney had at the end. So the carryover from last week, he needed to talk to So Stewart, and in order to do that, he needed to endure the Tower of London and training and all this torture just to get the meeting. Then when he gets the meeting, he makes the deal to get a boat and the witnesses in exchange for eliminating both his own and Godfrey's testimony. That secures his release. And it's unspoken in the show, but he also gets to deal with Sir Stewart to kill the two people that he's gonna have Sir Stewart send and help him out. So, man, then Robert, his son, delivers all the letters to the League of the Damned, and all these letters are like pre-written. And I don't know if you noticed, but the actor who plays his son is Andy Serkis's real life son.
Oh, so, crazy! I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome, and, getting him in, you know.
Getting him in young on a big show like this, yeah. And then, so he gets the Chumley to make the bombs, Atticus to intercept the female witnesses and kill Pettifer, the first guy, brings Bo with him to tell Helga he didn't do it, Lorna meets with Carlsbad to get the mole and to get the codes, and then he does the thing with Dumbarton to expose him as the spy, and then Chichester stuff, and it just goes on and on. It's like five more things. His plan is so complex, but at the same time, it made enough sense that it wasn't like a Lex Luthor plot in Batman versus Superman where you're like, this is stupid. Like everything made sense along the way. That's like, if somebody really, really trusted everybody he was handing these letters to, it could actually execute properly and get done. So I'm really curious to see how they're going to really dig into his planning and intelligence later on. So, yeah, I got excited trying to figure out that plan because I was like, this makes it so much better just making everything link like this and tried to figure it all out. So that was cool.
Thank you for listening to this Megasode episode of Geekologist Radio. You can find us on the web at geekologistradio.com, qedupmedia.com, and in our podcast family, ninjapancake.com. You can also find us on Twitter at geekologistradio, minus the T on geekologist for character restrictions. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and catch you on the next regular episode of Geekologist Radio.